Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Hello, welcome to Film Fandango, the film podcast. My name is David Reed, and joining me to talk about films once again is Mr. Marek Larwood. Hello, Marek, how are you doing?
I'm all right. Yeah? I was talking about this to you slightly earlier, but I'm feeling a bit disappointed with myself.
Oh, why? What have you done? Have you let yourself down?
Yeah, well, I was wearing a jumper last night.
Yeah.
And I spilt some of my dinner on it.
Oh, what was it? What dinner was it? A stinky dinner.
It was the heated up curry that I made.
Heated up.
So second, I think it was the third time. Well, my girlfriend's a vegetarian, so I have to make things out of corn.
Yeah.
Or if I make them out of chicken, I have to eat them for 3 or 4 days.
Okay.
But I made this one out of corn.
Okay.
And she didn't want any of it, so I had to eat it myself for a few days. I mean, this is fascinating backstory for film lovers.
Yeah, yeah, but you spilt some on your jumper.
Well, I spilt some on my jumper, and I forgot with jumpers, normally, you know, I wear clean stuff every day, apart from, you know, jeans. You can wear those for 2 or 3 days.
Months.
And jumpers, get a couple of days out of that.
Sure.
But I forgot I spilt some food on my jumper.
It's easily done.
And then I put it on this morning in a rush to get here, and yeah. I was on the train, and the lady opposite me was giving me a dirty look, and I thought, oh, shit.
And last week you were wondering why people thought you were the strange man at the back of the cinema. It's easily done. It is. Especially when, you know, you...
Trump, homeless.
Well, when you're self-employed, you don't have that constant, you know, I must keep up appearances. I must project an image of success at all times.
I've just really let myself go.
Well, that's all right, man. That's all right. That's why we do podcasting.
Radio.
So we can sit here covered in yogurt and sauce and nobody cares.
Well, we've probably lost a lot of listeners now.
Well, that's all right. That's all right.
But
we're going to talk about...
Living films. With stains.
Living with stains. That's how we're basically... we're plugging our new podcast, Living with Stains, where each week we talk about two stains, one new, one really old classic stain.
Yeah, but time-wise.
That's right.
One stain that's been there for 3 or 4 months.
That's right. And one we've literally just put on now to see how it feels. It's a good show. It's a good show. We get Simon Fielder on every now and again.
Simon Fielder.
Old stainy breath.
We're going to talk about films. You went to cinema.
I did go to cinema. And I went to see... It's Oscars season, you could probably notice. It's slightly worthier, sadder films are out at the moment.
Longer, sadder, deeper films.
That's right. So I went to one that is a hot contender for the gongs, which is Manchester by the Sea. Now, this is... Have you heard about this? Have you seen the posters around?
I've seen the trailer for it. I find it really weird because this is the American Manchester.
That's
and
right.
When you think of... What are you talking about? Manchester by the Sea.
Well,
I almost feel as though...
In fact, its name was changed to Manchester by the Sea.
Really?
There was a petition to change it. It used to just be called Manchester.
You can't really... I don't like the fact they've got a place called Manchester by the Sea. Just... As an English person, it just sounds really weird. It shouldn't be in Manchester. You don't have us calling... You know, you wouldn't call a film, well, New York on Trent, would you? Something like that.
Well, yeah, but, I mean, They when they founded these towns, they were us, weren't they?
Yes, but I'm trying to say that they should have thought of different names in the first place.
Just made up words.
Yeah, you can call...
Well, on the West Coast, you've got all the Spanish names. Is that all right?
Yeah, but I don't like the fact they've taken just... New York's good, because it's got New in front of it.
Sure, so they all should be just New Leicester.
Yeah.
New Hull.
What do they do? Like the New Adventures of Scooby-Doo, the all-new Manchester.
Or, like, the real Ghostbusters, when they made the cartoon. Yes. So it could be the real Leicester. That would be good, wouldn't it? You'd want to live in real Leicester.
Yeah, I think just add a little bit to make it different, and they can still do it.
Yeah, yeah. Because even ones that we know as sort of synonymous with America, like Boston, there is a Boston in Britain, it's just not a very famous place. Anyway, Manchester by the Sea. Doesn't it sound lovely? This is a film starring Casey Affleck, the, I believe, younger, more talented brother of Ben Affleck, and Michelle Williams, and also featured very strongly, I'm just getting up the IMDb page now, Kyle Chandler plays his brother, and Lucas Hedges is a young teenager. Now, this is a film about... Casey Affleck is a janitor, and he has to go back to his hometown of Manchester by the Sea that he seems to have left for no particular reason that we know of yet, but he doesn't want to be there anymore. But he has to go back because his brother's in hospital. And his brother is dying, basically. But it's all quite sudden.
It says that in the trailer.
Yeah,
stuff,
yeah. That's the inciting incident, as they call it in film script parlance. And basically, it is about him going back to revisit the past he's been running away from, and also face up to the fact that his brother wanted him to become guardian of his teenage son, but hadn't mentioned this at all, but it's stipulated in his will. That's the story. This is a very... It's a slow, but I don't mean that in a pejorative way. It's a slow, delicate...
What does pejorative mean?
A negative sense.
Okay.
Do you want me... Yeah, is that all right?
I've heard the word, and I've heard it used in the context.
Yeah.
And now I understand the word.
Great. Well, that's what we're here for.
New word. Pejorative. I've read it quite a lot of times, but I'm never sure of it. I think it's always good to ask what words mean if you don't know.
Absolutely. There's no shame in that.
You need to be pejorative about it.
Not quite right. It has to be a word that sort of could have two interpretations. And so the pejorative sense is the negative one.
Oh.
So his tumour was very great. The pejorative sense means it's massive and therefore bad. Whereas great would be, it was great.
Oh, this banana milkshake had a very distinct flavour.
I mean that in the pejorative sense.
I mean it in the pejorative sense, I mean someone put their dick in it.
That's it. That's what the word is specifically for. It's for talking about putting dicks in milkshakes.
So if someone has if the milkshake...
Has anyone put their dick in your milkshake before?
Pejoratively, yes.
Yeah, but not in
is
a
that,
good way.
Is that, so what would be the good... Is there... what's the opposite?
I don't know. I don't know what the very opposite word would be.
What's the opposite of some... what's the word you use when someone's put their dick in your milkshake and made it taste nicer?
Top banana. You go, someone put their dick in my milkshake. Top banana.
Okay.
That's what you say. Yes, so that's basically Manchester by the Sea. No, Manchester by the... Okay, it's a brilliant film. Like,
is it? Okay.
Just is. Like, it... I was... Found myself occasionally going, is this going somewhere? And it does. Like, it knocks you for six, and then there is one scene that Michelle Williams and Casey Affleck do. It's only short, and it's devastating. Like, this is it's a beautiful film, and it holds back all the time, but in the way that it seems so mundane and true that it doesn't fall into movie cliches in the same way that, you know, others would. You know, I don't want to spoil it, but it's like you're not gonna get the ending that you want. You're gonna get the ending life would give you.
Michelle Williams is brilliant, isn't she?
She's fantastic. It's odd as well because the director seems to have cast people who have had genuine harrowing trauma in their life as well. Like, of course, father of her kids died, Heath Ledger.
Yeah,
and then
Casey Affleck is the brother
of Ben Affleck. I mean, fucking hell, mate. I mean, he's doing well for it.
Imagine that you were a more talented brother, but all your brother got all the work.
Yeah, yeah. Because he's friends with Matt Damon.
Yeah.
And would never introduce you. Whenever he bumped into Matt Damon, he would just talk to him, and Casey would just have to stand there, and Ben would never introduce them. But also, Matthew Broderick plays a small part. He suddenly appears in this film as a Christian man. And of course, he disappeared from Hollywood for years because...
Yeah, because he killed someone.
Killed someone in his car. Like,
that was really dodgy there, the way he lost his memory. We talked about this before, didn't we?
I'm not sure we did. No, not much.
He was driving in Ireland and he killed someone, and then there was a rumour that he was driving on the wrong side of the road, and that's what caused the accident.
Wow.
Because obviously it's left-hand side of it, and then he completely lost his memory of the whole thing.
He lost his memory.
Didn't remember any of the incident at all.
Well, you know that's a Hollywood invention. Traumatic amnesia.
Oh, really?
Apparently. Doesn't exist.
Well, I'm not saying that Matthew Broderick is guilty of murder based on a news article I've read, but I also am...
Sure, you are definitely saying...
I'm directly calling Matthew Broderick a murderer.
Well... Okay, that is your...
Pejoratively.
That is your prerogative. Your pejorative prerogative.
I understand what prerogative is. Good. It's a song by Bobby Brown did.
Britney Spears.
Bobby Brown did My Prerogative.
Oh, she did it as well, though.
Hers is probably a cover. I mean, I'm showing my age here. Bobby Brown did the prerogative version.
Manchester by the Sea crept up on me. It's incredibly real and forces you to actually engage with reality rather than an escapism of these feelings and emotions.
Is it bleak?
No, it's not. There is hope in it because like reality, there is frustration at just can't you just do the thing that would make you happy? And of course, like real human beings, they can't. And you know, it's ultimately seemingly about people isolating themselves and they can't communicate and get themselves out of these holes they find themselves in. And it's brilliantly observed and very beautiful. You know, I thought it was great.
Yeah, I'd want to watch it. But I went to see La La Land last week instead.
Well, those are polar opposite films by the sounds. You know?
Yeah. Really. Yeah, that's a good thing about January, isn't it? You just get a load of great films.
Or you get the films that studios have confidence in of being both interesting and commercially viable. You know, so rather than just the big blockbuster monster mashers, you get...
Is it because the drop-off is that big in the cinemas in the summer?
I don't know.
It's very odd the way that they've decided the tone, the sort of tone of films... across the year.
It's really interesting, but January is the Oscar bait films, but they tend to actually be all right. Not the most innovative films of the year, but certainly good ones. But that's because people remember favourably the last thing they watched, and that's why they put them all out in January, hoping that the Academy who are voting will go, no, La La Land was the best one because I saw it yesterday.
Yeah. Then you've got it's the school holidays, kids' films.
Yep.
Summer action films and just constant Transformers crap like that.
And then the Christmas blockbuster where you can take the whole family to because you're all back at home with nothing to do.
Yeah. And there's that weird 2 weeks after the summer holiday is over when they put the weirdest stuff out.
Out with the trash, basically. They just go, oh, we don't know if this will be popular. You can go out there.
It's very peculiar. Mm. Very peculiar. Mm. So, do you think it's going to get... you really need to see La La Land, don't you?
I think this might be too slow and subtle to win the Best Picture Awards, but I think The cast could be in contention because it's beautiful. Michelle Williams especially could well be in contention for Best Actress.
Is it a weepy?
Not all the way through, but there are moments, yes.
I can't. After that, A Monster Calls, I was a state.
Mm.
I can't bear it anymore. I have to watch these films at home. I just cry at anything.
A Monster Calls was particularly, you know.
I just find myself sitting in the cinema going, oh, I can't go like this. I look like I've just been kicked in the balls.
What's wrong with that?
Pejoratively.
Pejoratively kicked in the balls rather than sensuously.
Yes. Sorry, I really feel that word took over the whole.
That's quite all right. I think it's time for this.
Oh, here's a quick one from Johnny Atfield. Bone Tomahawk. Message. Bone Tomahawk, your thought I saw it. Quite simply, wow. Thank you. 10 Johnnies. That sounds wrong. Keep watching the films.
Yes.
I'm going to watch Bone Tomahawk.
Oh, it's brilliant. I mentioned it as one of my favourite films of last year. It is a Western that is also a horror. And actually, what is most startling about it is every single character is brilliantly drawn. It's a fantastic cast. It's fantastic writing. It's a great film.
Okay. Here's one for you.
Okay. This is from Dave Shaw. And he says, to be read in the voice of a man on the brink of orgasm.
Normal voice.
My normal voice. And there's one. Hi, Mary, David, and Buddy. I recently watched the film Premature from 2014 because it looked terrible and I wanted to watch a film that was awful. I had extremely low expectations as the reviews were quite bad and it genuinely looked crap. I couldn't have been more wrong. It has Alan Tudyk and Craig Roberts in supporting actor roles who do brilliantly and make it actually very funny. Please watch it. Would love to hear your thoughts. I feel like Marek will connect with this film on many levels. Keep watching the films, Dave. Well, thank you, Dave Shaw. Premature from 2014.
So we're going to start doing that now. We're going to start...
We've been very badly organised in the past, and we try and hold the films you've told us to watch in our heads, and that doesn't always work, does it? So we're going to start making a list that we will then correlate and make sure we, you know, which one we're going to watch this week. So, yes, please do keep your recommendations coming in. We're going to go through all back emails and find all the films and try and watch them.
So what we're going to try and do is watch one new release and then someone's going to try and watch one of your recommendations.
And a recommendation each week. So give us a couple of weeks to get that rolling, but we'll get it working.
Here's a letter.
Here is a letter. What do they want?
Why don't you read this one and I'll read the next one.
Okay, fine.
I mean, if it looked long and some of the words looked confusing.
Like the word Cloverfield.
Oh.
This is from Adam Taylor on the subject of faults. Dear David, Marek and Buddy, I just watched 10 Cloverfield Lane on the strength of your recommendations. I thought it was excellent. A very intelligent and enjoyable thriller. And it reminded me of another very intelligent and enjoyable thriller, also starring Mary Elizabeth Winstead, called Faults. Faults is about a writer and cult specialist called Ansel Roth, played by Leyland Orser, who is approached by a couple to deprogram their daughter, who has been brainwashed by a cult. The film starts out like a dark comedy in the vein of the Coen brothers' early classics, as Ansel stages a kidnapping in order to deprogram, and turns into a tense, unpredictable thriller when things start to go awry. Just as in 10 Cloverfield Lane, Mary Elizabeth Winstead plays a character that manages to both be vulnerable but strong and resourceful at the same time. This performance is counterbalanced by that of Leyland Orser, who plays Ansel Roth as a tragicomic loser. There's a beautiful light and shade between the performances of the two leads. The film never becomes dull, despite, like 10 Cloverfield Lane, taking place nearly entirely in one location, and the plot delivers plenty of surprises in its lean 90-minute runtime. I'd give it 8 Admas. Is he called Adam?
Yeah.
Yeah, Adams, I think that is. I'd give it 8 Adams, and I'm looking to the follow-up by looking forward to the follow-up by the director of Faults, also starring Winstead, who is coincidentally the director Riley Stern's wife, called The Art of Self-Defense, a karate film, which, while I have no interest in karate or martial arts, I shall watch purely because of the people involved. All of this long-windedly leads me to my question. Are there any actors, male or female, that you would watch no matter what film they were in? David, Nicolas Cage doesn't count. Anyway, interested to hear your thoughts. Keep watching the films. Adam, in Manchester by the Sea?
It couldn't be, could it?
Actors, well, Ryan Gosling's yours, isn't it?
Yeah, I love Ryan Gosling. I think he picks very good films.
You know, generally. Somebody I've thought about recently who I will watch in anything because I think is absolutely brilliant is John Lithgow.
Oh, really?
I absolutely love him. Like, I think he's such a good actor. And, like, I would watch him in anything. I think he's fantastic.
There are quite a few. Some people I find really interesting to watch is the Michael Shannon is his name.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
I really think he's got a fascinating face. He's in. He doesn't necessarily pick
he's
the best
films.
He's
in Midnight Run and Batman vs Superman: Dawn of Justice. So yes. He's in some real
but
classics.
I find him great to watch.
Yeah.
Who else is very watchable? I'm trying to. What it is it's very difficult to try and think and realise you've got to talk at the same time.
Yes, very difficult.
I'm concentrating on finishing this sentence and not... I'm not able to actually think while I'm talking.
Yeah, that's bad because you need to be able to think in order to know what you're saying, don't you?
Yeah. I don't really know.
Who
what about
are
you?
My favourite actors? Well, it's tricky, isn't it? I mean, Nicolas Cage, I've actually got to a point where he's shitting out so many crap films that end up on Netflix immediately. I've actually lost my patience with the whole thing.
Yeah.
Like, he seems... When I check sort of what are the recently added things on Netflix, what are the recently added things on, you know, Blinkbox or whatever.
Yeah.
And every week it seems to be a Nicolas Cage film plus some other shit. How are you producing so many films?
Is it some sort of debt thing that he's
got? Well, that's what I've heard. I don't know the truth.
That he didn't pay tax
at the height of his career, and so he has an enormous tax bill spanning 20 years of career and has to pay it with the status he now has in Hollywood. So, yeah, he's just working like round the clock. I mean, he should have paid tax is the moral of that story, isn't it?
Yeah. Really. I do like Scarlett Johansson as well.
Yeah, but anything she's in, I mean,
no, not anything.
She's one who I find is very charming and sort of hypnotic to watch, but isn't a versatile actor. She brings what she does to the role, and it's very dependent upon the casting director to have given her the right role. I think
who's always been brilliant and is rising to fame, Ben Mendelsohn.
Ben Mendelsohn
is
excellent.
He's been in for quite a few years.
Yeah, yeah.
Like Animal Kingdom, I think he's in, if I can remember. And he's always been good. He's another sign of a good film, normally.
Yes. Yes, he is. He is. Good taste as well.
Yeah.
Slow West, he was excellent.
Okay, well, shall I read out another message then?
Yeah, why not, mate?
Just, how does it work out? You just pick one and read it?
Pick one, read it.
Okay, here we go. This is from Tim Wade. It's called The Invitation. Hi, Senor's buddy, David and Merrick. I enjoyed your best of episode, your recent best of episode, and sorry, we're a little bit behind on these emails. I look forward to catching one of those from your list I haven't seen yet. One film which I really enjoyed this year, and I literally only saw it last week, was The Invitation. It's on Netflix. Well, at least it's on Netflix where I'm currently living, Costa Rica. Blimey. Have you guys heard of it, seen it? I found it incredibly compelling and tense, but as all the best films, it's best not to say too much about it before watching. Anyway, just thought you might like a late recommendation you can watch from the comfort of your respective armchairs to save you overpriced cinema's dollars. All the best. Keep watching, working so you can afford to keep watching the films. Please read us out in your best Costa Rican accent. Oh,
at the end. Too late. Don't put it at the end. If you want an accent, it's got to go at the beginning.
Well, I followed Tim Wade's advice.
I followed him home.
I went to Costa Rica.
Yeah.
I bought a flight to Costa Rica to watch The Imitation on Netflix, and I didn't realise he was talking about my armchair.
That's a shame. So what is it? What's it about?
The Imitation, it's... So it feels like it's a low budget. It's a sort of drama, mystery, thriller. It's one of those films you can only watch once because you're trying to work out
right
what the shit is going on.
And once you know the shit is going on,
that yeah is it. So it's just, if you fancy a thriller, which all the actors, they're all good, but they feel slightly B movie-ish. Right. I don't know. Anyway, it's set in Los Angeles.
Like
and this bloke is going with his new girlfriend to invite to a dinner party.
Yeah.
And it turns out all of his friends have been invited, and it's at his old house, and it's his ex-wife's dinner party, and it's the first time they've got together for... She hasn't been seen for 2 years, and he invited everyone over and everyone's gone because when they were together, their child died.
Right.
And I think it was at the house.
Right.
I mean, there is... The problem is, I think this is a good film, is the premise doesn't necessarily stand up. It's a good thriller.
Right.
But I could never... Because I thought, well, what? Who on earth would go to their ex... They haven't heard from their ex-partner in 2 years... I know all their friends are going to be there. Who enough would go? It's weird enough going there. You can sort of think, oh, I'll go along to this dinner party thing, and it'll be all.
Yeah.
It might be weird. But if it's at your old house, then that is really going to freak you out. But there's no. I mean, the acting's really good in it. It's shot really well. I really enjoyed it, actually, and I'm trying to work out what is going on. Basically, I'll try and tell you too much without ruining it. This is a good film to watch if you fancy something that's not too long. It's like an hour and 40 minutes. I like those thriller mystery films.
Sometimes you just
want to find out when's this all going to turn to shit. When's this going to go mental, this film? And it's one of those films, really.
And does it go mental?
Well, that'll be a
spoiler. That's a spoiler, okay.
It's pretty obvious it's going to go mental. Sure. So you'll try... It's got... The lead in it is the bloke who is in Prometheus, who I sort of recognised. Logan Marshall Green.
Which one's he?
Yeah, exactly. He's a guy... that one.
I don't recognise
The guy whose eye turns black.
Oh, yeah.
And...
He has... he sexually transmits the alien into Noomi Rapace, right?
Yes, the guy who's responsible for...
with his dirty eyes and willy.
Yeah. It was... I think it was a low budget, got minimum release, but... that's not even the right word.
Limited
release. And probably went straight to Netflix to get their money. But it's interesting to look at. It's pretty much a bottle episode where it's all set in this house and they're all having a dinner party. And there are certain points in it where something weird's got to happen for it to accelerate the plot.
Yeah, yeah.
And normally you go, do you know what? I'm just going to go. I'm just going to go home because this is really weird and I feel too uncomfortable.
Yeah.
Basically, his ex-wife's new partner's there and he's this really weird, uber nice person, and they sort of begin to suspect whether they're in a sort of... She's joined a cult.
Right.
And they're trying to recruit them all for this cult. But it's done, and he's obviously not... Because his child died in this house, he's going through some
weird stuff
shit in his head. So... He's trying to work out whether he's reacting really weirdly because of all this backstory, or whether he's
being totally rational and normal.
Yes. You're trying to work out, is that thing, have you got a slightly mental narrator, a trusted narrator, what's it called when the narrator's
unreliable narrator.
Yes, an unreliable narrator, and whether you trust it. It's a classic thing, whether you trust him and what's going on. So I actually really enjoyed it. There's some bits where you think, it's actually really difficult to film a dinner party or a get together.
It's one of the hardest things to film.
You've got 12 people in the room.
Yeah, yeah, and the well, not to get too boring, but the whole filmmaking thing of crossing the line.
Yeah.
Where in order to make two people look like they're looking at each other, the camera has very limited places it can go when you do a shot of someone and then the reverse shot of what they're looking at. And when you've got people sitting in a circle in particular, it's really hard to keep a track on that of what can go where.
And yeah, and to follow all the conversations.
It's one of the hardest things you can
do. And also to actually have a dinner, have a film all about that, where people don't, you're still trying to follow the story, where all people are sort of quiet at different points, trying to introduce all these characters and have... Because normally at dinner parties you get off on tangents, you wouldn't be talking about the same thing.
Yeah.
There's all sort of interrelationships going on. So I think the challenge of making a film where you've got 12 people in the same room and having all these different things happening is an almost impossible challenge. I mean, 12 Angry Men would be it. A way of doing it, and a brilliant way of doing that.
But keeping the dynamics there. So, you know, in the final act, it's visually, even if it's just the attitudes of the actors, but it is visually, you've moved on somewhere when it is just 12 people in a room. Like, you're right, 12 Angry Men is the one that does it brilliantly because they fragment, don't they?
So, and they have to stay in that room as
well. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And this, when something weird happens in this, luckily you've got characters who are quite down to earth going, you know, it's really nice to be together again. Let's just let this go. Let's all be here for each other. There's sort of things where you almost go, I'm going to stop believing it now.
Yeah, yeah.
This is too weird. This has gone past the weird barrier. And maybe it fails in a certain attempt at doing it. But it's, watching it from an idea of a bottle episode, an ambitious bottle episode, I found it quite interesting, and it was tense towards the end. And because you're always thinking, actually, I want to see what's going to happen.
Yes.
And it's quite nice to watch a film where it's an old-fashioned thriller, and then quite simplistic in, you know, you're waiting for the moment when things kick off. So, if there's no way you would ever see this film, I don't think. It's quite interesting. It's just sort of hidden deep in the menus, the darkest menus of Netflix. So I would. It's got 6.7 Metascore, 74 on IMDb. I would give it 6 Marics.
Okay.
Maybe it could get 7 on the. If you want to watch something.
Well, if you're looking for something on Netflix, you know, you just go, oh, I can't find anything. Yeah, give it a shot. It sounds fun.
You can do a lot worse than watch this. And if you're interested in how to film a bottle episode and how low budget films are made.
We've talked about them before, and they are the holy grail of a first-time filmmaker.
Yeah.
If you can go, here is a script of 8 people in a single room and I can hold your attention and make it go somewhere in 90 minutes. Like, that's how you get trusted with a larger budget.
Yeah. Well, obviously, that's what it is. It's almost like a sort of
absolutely
film to try and get
more money.
Well,
because it costs nothing. It's one set, you know. It's one group of actors, one group of costumes, by and large.
Yes, I enjoyed it. So, thank you, Tim Wade, for that recommendation. And I hope. Well, the director also did Aeon Flux, Girl Fight. She's called Karen Kusama. I probably pronounced her name wrong. But it's nice to see something by a lady director.
Yeah.
She wrote Girl Fight as well, which is probably a quite big thing. Right. Well,
that's it for this week. Although, I should say, next week, Marek...
Yes?
Next week, the film I'm going to talk about is something I'm going to see this evening. Now, at 2 a.m. this evening.
What the shit?
This is a one-off thing. No one's ever attempted it before. It's called Lost in London, and it is written and directed and starring Woody Harrelson, and he is doing a one-shot live streamed film about loosely based on the time he was arrested late at night in London whilst he was trying to get home. And so he is doing it tonight in London, and it's being live streamed to cinemas all over the world. So I'm going to the Picture House Central to watch it at 2 a.m. tonight to see if it's a spectacular failure or whether it's incredibly engaging.
That sounds great.
It's a brilliant idea. So I'm excited because I know it's possible with modern technology because of the film Victoria.
Yeah.
But the fact that they are live streaming it just to give you that extra level of tension of whether they even succeed to make a film, I'm really looking forward to it.
Wow. I mean, so many things could go wrong.
So many could go wrong. And how ambitious they've been as well. I don't know if it's just, it'll be like a documentary following him round, or whether they're going to live mix music and all of that and make it cinematic. I've no idea.
I wonder how many run-throughs they've done of it.
Yeah. I don't know.
And it's going to be freezing as well.
Yeah. Well, I was just thinking, what if there's fog and it rains? Like, it's going to ruin it. But anyway, I'm going to that at 2 a.m. tonight.
I'm looking at the weather now. I mean, it's literally 0 degrees outside to -1, so Woody Harrelson's going to freeze his nuts off.
He really is.
Also, you should mention the Penny Dreadfuls.
Yes. This is a shameless plug, but we do this for free, so that's fair enough. The sketch troupe that I am in, the Penny Dreadfuls, have been making plays, historical comedy plays for Radio 4, for the last however many years, and we've made 6 of them. Marek is in one of them, about Harrowwood the Wake,
yes,
playing Martin, and they've just been released as albums on Audible. So if you go to Audible and search for the Penny Dreadfuls, you'll find there's 2 volumes there of it, and I would be very appreciative if you'd buy them.
And they are excellent as well.
Thank you very much. But yes, plug done. If you'd like to write to us, and as Marek and I said, we're going to make a list of films so that we can keep track of it more. So any film recommendations or questions you might have, go to filmfandango.com and fill out the form. I won't do the begging request because I've just done one for the Penny Dreadfuls, but we'll be back next week.
Keep watching the films.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.